Now it's time for another of our features about mental health and well-being. This week we're talking about men's mental well-being, a subject that is often full of stigma. Before we start, I must just say that here at Mix 92.6, we don't pretend to have all the answers, or for this to be a substitute for professional help, and you should seek that professional advice where appropriate. However, I am fortunate insofar that joining me is Carol Salter, who runs her own counselling private practice, Talking Minds, based in St Albans. So Carol, thank you very, very much for joining us, first of all.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to talking about our subject this evening.
And it's an interesting one because is it a bit of a stereotype that men really don't like to talk? Is that fact or fiction?
Sadly, it's fact. We do find that in day-to-day life, men are much more the quieter ones. They don't want to share or they don't want to be seen as vulnerable. And unfortunately, this has had serious sort of repercussions in that we have a very, very high suicide rate for men. It's like 3 out of 4 suicides are men. So it's by not talking, we're finding that they are getting into such a low state that, in fact, their only answer is taking their own life, which we've got to stop.
But why is this happening? Is it the social norms? Is it stigma? I mean, what is this all about?
Well, I think it starts when we've got these men who, when they were little, you know that saying, big boys don't cry?
Oh.
And, you know, that's with them all their life. I've done it myself, you know. And I think, oh, gosh, I shouldn't really be saying that. But we have done. And, of course, men become conditioned. With that, there's that fear also of not being in control of the situation. And one that's often told to me is that they fear that they are mentally unwell. That's their, you know, it's a fear. They don't want to have it confirmed that perhaps they are depressed or that they have anxiety or whatever it may be. So I do feel, yes, that there is this stigma that unfortunately our men have around their necks that stops them sort of reaching for help.
It's very interesting because if you take the mental well-being out of it, just going to the doctor seems to be problematic as well, doesn't it? It's the suggestions of weakness, maybe.
Well, I have one of those at home, and yes, you're absolutely right. To get to a doctor, actually, it is quite hard at the moment anyway, but that's, you know, beside the point. But for men, they really do not want to know. They, you know, I'll sort myself out. And again, it's opening up to a doctor and, you know, saying, this is how I'm feeling, and worried about where that information also is going. Because a big thing, again, for men is confidentiality.
Right.
And I find that when I see my clients who the men, they spend a lot more time going through the confidentiality of where is, who, when I tell you something, where does that information go to? Whereas when the women come to me, they're not so worried about that. They ask, but it's not such a big thing.
Right, there's almost an assumption that this will just be handled properly as opposed to having to have that reassurance all the time.
Yes. I think it's more that they're worried that it will go on to other people will be told, like doctors will be informed or employers will be informed or social services will be informed of any information that's sort of given. And we have to just reassure that, it is confidential. We obviously we have got our guidelines from the BACP, where obviously if we are told something that is illegal, or where someone is going to harm themselves, then that's different. Then obviously we have to take that further. But generally, the counselling or the doctors, anything that someone goes to talk to them about, it is confidential. And I think that has been a fear for men.
And it's also quite important because I wonder, for some people may seek counselling directly through private practices, but some people may start that journey by going to see a GP. And yeah. So I think that obviously plays a part in that, doesn't it?
Very much so. And I actually think that's the best way, just so that the doctor is aware of what's happening, just to make sure that there isn't anything else underlying the symptoms that you're actually sort of reporting, really, or wanting to come to counselling for. I just think if they want to do that first, that's fine. However, any counsellor will obviously want to do an assessment with them, and just to make sure that this is the right route and that it is counselling that's needed or support from the GP.
Would you say that men's mental well-being is one of those things that is possibly a little bit overlooked within society?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. They actually say that depression for men, or mental well-being for men, is different than it is for a woman, because a lot of men can come across as irritable, sometimes quite angry, mm-hmm. Can be quite snappy, to their partners. They have that loss of pleasure, where actually nothing brings them joy anymore. Mm-hmm. Loss of energy, and perhaps sometimes feeling quite worthless within the family, or everything is quite hopeless. But it's interesting that actually is all defined as just being the grumpy old man. I don't know if you've heard that saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's just a grumpy old man.
But often in a way of mocking as well, isn't it? It's used as a comedic mocking way, which then, if you're not careful, just adds a whole nother layer of stigma to it, surely.
And that's exactly it. And that's why I think we've got to be very aware of all our sort of partners and friends and brothers and uncle, any male person in your family. I think you need to be aware. Now, if they've just got one of those things, it's fine. They've got to have a combination of the things I've just mentioned. But by being aware, you can actually ask the question to them, what's going on? What's happening? Let's, talk to me. Sometimes they will, and sadly, sometimes they won't. But I think if they know that it's being noticed, that they aren't themselves, can sometimes open doors.
Yeah, almost like a stepping stone. And I mean, the people that you see, what are the kind of issues that they are often bringing and presenting to you that you end up talking about? Are there any themes?
Everyone is unique. I actually see quite a lot of men now, which I find very reassuring. And they come with loss. And it could be a loss of perhaps a wife who hasn't perhaps died but has got an illness. Mm-hmm. It could be illness for themselves that they're going through. Fear. It's just endless, the things that sort of come into the counselling room. But there's not just one area. I can't say, everyone that comes to see me is suffering with this, because that's not the case. It really is a mixture of life's events that have just overtaken them.
And I would imagine that often life's events that have overtaken them potentially quite unexpectedly.
Yes. Yeah. Again, it's usually when we're not prepared. And it could be even down to sort of losing a job, being made redundant. It's something that's come out of the blue. that you're not expecting. And like I said, it's that illness, financial, the list is endless.
Carol Salter from Talking Minds is with us, and we've been talking about men's mental well-being. And earlier on, we heard that there are so many different reasons why people may present to you and are feeling things are a little bit difficult at the moment. Can I ask, what are the role of friends in all of this as somewhere to start talking informally? Because I would have thought, I don't know, perhaps it's a stereotype here, but women friends were often seen in dramas as being open with each other and sharing their emotions. And I'm not sure that you see many programs where men do this. So surely the role of friends is important.
Very much so. And I actually can see a slight change in that now, because we have a lot of our younger young men coming through. They've actually gone through the education system where there has been a safeguarding team, wellness team, counsellors on board, where they've had the opportunity or they've witnessed that there is this facility available. And I think now the generations are beginning to change on that. We did a research about a year ago, and it was really interesting that the 30 men that were asked, it wasn't obviously an enormous research project, but the 30 men of mixed ages that was asked, would you talk to a friend? They said about 50% said yes, they would, and the other half said no, they couldn't see themselves talking to a friend about how they were feeling.
Right.
If a doctor told them to go to have counselling, they would go, or about 70% said they would go if a doctor told them. But if a friend said go and have counselling, it was a lot lower. So they wanted to have that clarification from a professional that's what they needed.
How interesting.
Whereas, it was just but we have found that men actually don't have big circles of friends. This is a sweeping statement now, so I'm sorry if it's, but generally men are inclined to have perhaps two or three good friends, whereas women generally have a lot more that they can call on and be with. And I think that doesn't help either. I think, you know, if it's a friend that you might see once a month, or it doesn't give the opportunity to sort of then say, well, actually, while you're here, I'd like to tell you that I'm going through a bad time. And I think that's been the other problem as well.
I wonder to what extent as well, a lot of men's friends are friends by default from another association, such as a sports club or workplace, and so therefore that's potentially another barrier, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Again, it's that I do not want to share this confidentiality again. I don't want to share information in case it gets back to other people that I don't want to know how I'm feeling or the situation that I'm in. It's like finances as well, isn't it? We're all quite protective about, you know, what people earn and what our financial situations are. And again, it's one of those topics that as a nation, it's just not in us to do it.
Mm.
So I think those sort of things, by having a friend as a work colleague, I just can't see it. However, I think a way forward would be with things like the sports teams. You know, it could be a football team, it could be the local uni team, is where they introduce at the end of their team training a half-hour session, which is, okay, this is open session, let's talk about what's going on in our lives.
Oh.
So that it gives them a chance to actually see people talking about what's going on and actually finding out that actually what they're worried about is probably half the other people are as well. And I think that's a real, that could be a real positive way forward.
How interesting. That really is interesting, because I suppose you've already got that group camaraderie built up.
Yeah.
So it's almost, it's creating its own safe space, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, when you're in a team, you're giving 100% to your teammates, and you have that thing in common straight away, that love of that sport, or, you know, that the need to win. And therefore, I just feel that if that was introduced at all of these sort of sporting events, no matter whether it's sort of the local school teams, or it's, you know, your first division or whatever it may be, it's just knowing that at the end there is going to be this open session, and it might just be the session that saves someone.
Well, I also wonder whether there has been a bit of a shift recently, and you suggested that perhaps more men were coming to see you, but I noticed that the other week, one of the long-running television dramas did a whole episode devoted to this, and have tried to tackle some of these difficult topics. And I'm assuming that can only be a good thing as a starting point for people, because that could be the thing that makes them, as you've just said, take that step.
Yeah, I think. excuse me. I think that's exactly it. I think we are heading in a good direction. It's just slow. And we need it to be quicker, because we've got to save these men's lives. It's just such a waste. And if anyone's listening who has been at the other end of this, where they've been part of a family who's lost either, you know, a man from their family, whether it be the young person or the grandfather, the father, you just wish, if only I had known, if only they had said something to us, we could have sorted it out. We could have made it better for them.
Well, that's actually also a very interesting point, is the impact on other people. And even if, I say even if, that's not the right way of putting it, but someone who's going through a period where they're not feeling their best, that can have an impact in all sorts of ways on those around them, can't it? And that itself can be quite devastating. And I'm assuming that in many ways that can just add to the issues in the first place, and so it almost snowballs if you're not careful.
Yeah, and you know, we hear also a lot more about domestic abuse these days, and this actually comes from where. Again, domestic abuse can work both ways, but we're talking about men tonight. So this is how I'm only just going to refer about where men who are struggling with their mental well-being, actually their anger increases, and this actually has such a big, big effect on the family as a whole. And when it leads to violence, or it leads to a mental abuse, where they are so frustrated with themselves, and so, as we've just said, lost that pleasure of life, that the anger levels go up, and that's when it can potentially become so dangerous.
So if someone has been listening to this and they're thinking that either there's someone they know who they're worried about, or if they are worried about themselves and they're thinking, okay, so I recognize some of this and maybe I need to do something about it. I mean, what are options? Where on earth do they start?
Well, I think it's trying to talk to someone. Chances are that you're not going to get too far, but you never know. So I would say try and start to talk to them and explain all the things that you're witnessing, you know, the sadness, the lack of energy, the eating patterns, the, you know, all of this sort of thing, and say, these are the things I'm noticing. And hopefully that will then sort of give them will open a door for them to start saying, yes, this is how I'm feeling. If not, podcasts, there are some fantastic podcasts out there at the moment and some fantastic men's charities who you can contact as a member of a family or as the partner, and you can liaise with them and they can offer guidance as well. And also to try and encourage that your partner or your brother, husband, or whoever it may be, to actually make contact with them. The other thought then is to actually to look for a counsellor and to sort of shop around and just sort of find the person that's going to be right for them, and can help actually just giving them some safe space to talk for 50 minutes every week. And who actually is non-judgmental, has empathy for them.
And that's really important, the judgmental, non-judgmental. I mean, that must be one of the most important things, someone who's just going to sit there and listen.
Yes.
And not going to go...
No, that's right. Yeah, absolutely right. Yes, it is just being there and just being there for them each week, and giving them the chance to say exactly how it is they're feeling, which perhaps they can't share with their family and friends.
If someone wanted to go online right now and have a look at some things which might be useful, I mean, is there some kind of central website that is a good place to start, or is it a case of having a look around the different agencies?
Well, you've got the BACP and the NCS are the two of the sort of main counselling bodies in the UK, and you could go onto their website and you would be able to come up with lists of self-help and also lists of counsellors that have that are accredited, who could actually help. Like I said, there are other websites are things like Men's Minds Matter, and Men Who Talk Heal, and Man Down. These are sort of charities that are considered to be working with people either by text, by phone, by email. So it's not a case of even having to go into an office or into a counselling room. This can all be done online, so that if they don't want to face someone or they don't want to talk, they can actually get in touch with some of these charities, and some of them will offer, you know, a text facility or an email facility.
Good idea. Not even considered that. Such a good idea.
Yeah, it is. And it just gives people a chance then to sort of build confidence with who they're liaising with, you know, and then they sort of feel that actually this person does understand them. And hopefully will lead to, a sort of a positive outcome.
I mean, it's just breaking down another barrier. Something else has just come to me, and maybe this is completely irrelevant, I don't know. But do men particularly prefer to see male counsellors, or do they prefer to see women counsellors, or is it completely inconsequential?
Well, I actually feel that... men prefer to see a female, and again, I think a lot of this is not being judged by their peers. And that again, that's a very sweeping statement, but unless there's a topic that they just sort of think, actually, I need to talk to a man about this. It could be anything. But generally, I think they feel by being seen by a woman counsellor that they're not going to be judged in the same way as if they saw a male counsellor, which wouldn't be the case at all, because the men are being trained exactly the same way as the women, and that they are non-judgmental. But nevertheless, there is that stigma.
Well, I mean, I feel that we've scratched the surface here, but I hope, yeah. I mean, I hope that someone is who is listening might take something positive away from this.
And I
certainly
so.
A lot. I've learned a lot from this, actually. Yeah, so thank
I
so
hope
much.
So. Yeah, I will know. I just hope that, you know, please, guys, just talk. You know, we're all here for you.
Well, Carol Salter from Talking Minds, thank you so much. And once again, a reminder that this is not a substitute for professional advice from a counsellor or your doctor. But Carol, thank you very much.
No, thank you. Like I said, thank you for having me.